There you go. And it's commemorated on Sunday. So here we go. Let's start with the Gemara, Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Here you got a booklet, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, the Mishnah, the source number one. The Mishnah tells us as follows. Al Shisha Chadashim Ashluchin Yoytzin. 6 months a year, we're talking about here in the times where the Beis HaMikdash was standing for sure. And the way they figured out when Rosh Chodesh was, the two witnesses would show up to Bezdin, right? They say they saw the new moon. We all know that basic story. And then Bezdin would declare Rosh Chodesh if they ate and passed the test that they were able to say there was a new moon. Then the question was how they got the word, how they spread the word to the outlying areas that it was Rosh Chodesh. So for 6 months, this is obviously before they invented social media and quicker ways to get messages across. So 6 months a year, they would send out shluchim to tell everybody that it was Rosh Chodesh. When were those six particular months? So here we go. Al Nisan Pnei Pesach, they sent down Rosh Chodesh Nisan to make sure everyone knew when Pesach was going to be. That's number one. Al Av Pnei Atainis. Number two, they sent out Rosh Chodesh Av to everyone know when Tishra was going to be. Al Elu Pnei Rosh Hashanah. And El, they sent out for when Rosh Hashanah was going to be because usually they assumed that El was Chaser. So they knew after 29 days it would be Rosh Hashanah. But they sent out again on Tishrei just to confirm people know should know when Yom Kippur is and when Sukkot is. Mipnei Tekanas HaModos to put the rest of the holidays in place. Al Kisev Mei Chanukah, they sent out messengers on Kisev because of Chanukah. Al Adar Pnei Apurim. So those are the 6 months. Nisan, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Kislev, Adar. Those are the months that for sure the Shluchim went out. Concludes the Mishnah. Ukushaya Beis HaMikdash Kaim, when the Beis HaMikdash was still existent. Yaitin Afal Iyar, they also sent out the Shluchim for the month of Iyar, Pnei Pesach Katan, because what we call Pesach Sheni, so those people who missed their first opportunity would be able to bring a carbon Pesach on Pesach Sheni. So here we go. So the first part of the Mishnah, I said it sounds like it was talking about when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, because that's really when the Sanhedrin went in its full force. That's not 100% accurate, because you see at the ending of the Mishnah concludes, when the Beis HaMikdash was still existent, then they went out also on Iyar. That seems to imply that the first part of the Mishnah was not talking about when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Sounds like it was the first period after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, when they still had the Sanhedrin, was still existent for a short period after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. It sounds like that's when the first part of the Mishnah is discussing. And the second part, the last line of the Mishnah, is talking about when the Beis HaMikdash was still existent. So just to recap, there are 6 months, the Mishnah says that the Shluchim went out. When the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, they went out also, this is an important word, they went out also in Iyar. It sounds like when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, they went out 7 months a year. When the Beis HaMikdash was not standing, went out 6 months a year. That's the way our Mishnah reads. And that would also seem to imply that they went out during Av, even at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, went out during Av, because the Mishnah said they had tainus. Meaning the Mishnah didn't say you go out either during Av or Iyar. Iyar would be for Pesach Sheni when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and Av would be when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. No, it says it went out on Av, and it went out on Iyar when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. Let's hold that point for now as we go along. The Gemara asks, "V'lifku nami atamuz v'teves." Why didn't the shluchim go out also beginning of Tammuz and beginning of Teves? Because we have fast days in those months as well, 17th day of Tammuz and the 10th day of Teves. How do we know we have these fast days? The Gemara says, "The Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida." The Gemara tells us, "Ma'idich siv." What does it mean? The pasuk in Zechariah, "Koyomar Hashem tzevokai." So says Hashem. Soim Harvi, the month of the fast of the fourth month, which is Tammuz. V'tzoyim HaChamishi, the fifth month, which is Av. V'tzoyim HaShvi, the fast of the seventh month, which is Tzoyim Gedalia. V'tzoyim HaSiri, and the fast of the tenth month, which is Teves. Yeah, the base Yehuda, the Sos, and the Simcha. So the pasuk says the fast days of these 4 months should be for the house of Yehuda, for the Jewish people, for happiness and for joyfulness. So Gemara asks, that seemingly is a contradiction. Is it a fast day or is it a day of happiness? The Gemara says, Karlu Tzoyim. We call the Pasuk says that these days are days of fasting, but Karlu Sasa and Simcha. And the Pasuk also calls them at the end, these are days of happiness. So the Gemara explains, Bizman Shiye Shalom, at the time when there is peace, Yudu Sasa and Simcha. These days are days of happiness. So let's just assume now, this is Machalikas Rishonim, but we'll assume now that days of peace means in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when everything was in its way it was supposed to be. So these days, the days of Shavuot Tammuz and the days of Teves are days of happiness. Ain't Shalom, when there's no peace, so and then we commemorate these days of fast. So the Gemara is asking a question now, so why don't the Shluchim, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the messengers should have also went out in Tammuz and Teves, so everyone should know when the appropriate dates are. Shouldn't be guessing when the dates are. People live far away from the Beis HaMikdash. They should know when the appropriate day is to fast. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa. Says Rav Papa, Hachi Ka'amar. This is what we mean to say. Bisman shiye shalom, when there's peace. So again, we'll simply translate as when this midrash is in its full glory. Yulasas and simcha. These days are days of happiness, of celebration. Yesh gezeres hamalchus, when the goyim are oppressing us, meaning when we're not under our own dominion, we have the ruling of the goyim upon us. Then saim, then it's a day of fasting. Ein gezeres hamalchus ve'ein shalom, when it's a little bit, you know, it's not the goyim are really oppressing us. But it's not really in full force shalom. Then ratzu misan and ratzu emisan. Then it's optional. It's up to every Jew or every community. We'll have to understand exactly what that means to have a fast on these days or not. So Tammuz and Tevis, the Gemara at this point is saying, are not 100% set in stone, because even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Gemara seems to be understanding, since at that point we weren't fully under Gezeres HaMalchus, it wasn't a Shas HaShemad, so it wasn't a full-fledged obligation to fast in Tammuz and Tevis. The Gemara says, so why they go out on Av? If it's not a full-fledged obligation to fast, why they go out, the Shluchim, why did the messengers of Bezdin go out to tell us when Tisha B'Av is? Ask the Gemara, Yahachi Tisha B'Av Nami, why are we commemorating Tisha B'Av? Amar Rav Papa, the Gemara answers, Rav Papa says, Shani Tisha B'Av is different. Hayov Huch Bulu by Tzaras, because there were numerous tragedies that happened in it. Amar Mar, because we have taught in other places. But Tisha B'Av, the Gemara here just lists four things, but we know there's really five. But here the Gemara says, four calamities happened on Tisha B'Av. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Beit Tower was wiped out, and the city of Yerushalayim was plowed over. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara for now. So let's recap. The Gemara told us, the Mishnah told us that we go out, the Shluchim, the messengers of Bezdin, go out on Av to tell everybody when Tisha B'Av is going to be. But they don't go out on Tammuz and Teves because those days are not as established as fast days, as severe as Tisha B'Av was. Tisha B'Av, it sounds like, is Huch B'Lu B'Tzaris. There are numerous calamities that happen, so it's a compounded day of tragedy, so we fast no matter what. And the Tammuz and Teves are more up for grabs, so to speak, that depending on what else is going on in our general well-being as a nation, whether or not we have it as a full-fledged fast day or not, just that no one should be confused at this point. La halacha, we paskin nowadays, we have a full-fledged fast day on Shivas Batamas and Asar B'Tevis, as we're unfortunately well aware of. There's a difference in the severity of the fast between those and the fast of Tisha B'Av. As we know, Tisha B'Av is more severe, but it's not optional nowadays, Shivas Batamas and Asar B'Tevis. So now let's discuss what exactly, again, what this Mishnah was talking about. It's a little bit ambiguous in the exact language of the Mishnah. Are we talking about in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, do they commemorate Tisha B'Av? Obviously, they had the calendar date of Tisha B'Av. What happened on Tisha B'Av during the days of the second Beis HaMikdash? They know that the first Beis HaMikdash got destroyed on that day, so it's a sad day in history, but now they're in the middle of they have the second Beis HaMikdash. We were living in Eretz Yisrael with the second Beis HaMikdash. I wasn't in the same glory as the first Beis HaMikdash, but we're living in a much better time than living in Galus. So what did they do during that time? The Mishnah seems to imply that they went out on Av, and it sounds like the simple reading of the Mishnah is that they did fast on Tisha B'Av in the second Beis HaMikdash, even though they're in the middle of living in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. However, when the Gemara concluded that Tisha B'Av was a compounded day, many of those things, three of those things, were only at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, obviously, is at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. The city of Beit Tar is also, that's talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. And the fact that Yerushalayim was plowed over, that's also at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. So although it's a compounded day of Tzaras, like the Gemara concludes, but it's funny because those are all the second Beis HaMikdash. So that seems to imply that the only tragedy that we had before the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, at least according to this Gemara, was the idea that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, we know from other sources in Chazal, the Gemara in Tanis tells us that was the day that the Meraglim as well gave their bad report, and we were decreed that we weren't going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So, by the way, that's true. But it seems like three out of the five heavy tragedies of Tisha B'Av were only with the destruction and post the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So what exactly did they commemorate during the second Beis HaMikdash? Okay, so let's see the Ritva from the Rishonim in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, source number two. The Ritva comments when the Gemara asked the question that the Shluchim should go out during Tammuz and Teves. So he says, Pirish, because these are days of fast days also. Gam kein la'achar ha'chorben, after the destruction. Demasnisa nami la'achar ha'chorben, he says the Ritva, the Mishnah is only talking about after destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Midiktani al ha'av in Pnei HaTainis, because the Mishnah said they go out on Av before because of the fast day. Umidiktani, and the Mishnah concludes, and I look at this careful reading of the Ritva, Ukishahaya Beis HaMikdash Kayim Yaitin al Ir. Says they go out on Ir. Our Mishnah said they go out also on Ir. One extra word. Also, af. Also. And the Ritva's Giras on the Mishnah is they go out, they switch during the time of the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, they go out on Iyar, so it was 6 months a year because Iyar and not Av. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they flipped Iyar for Av. They would not go out on Iyar anymore, they would go out for Av. So now we have the Ritva's clearly learning that during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no reason for the Shluchim to go out on Av per se because there was no fast day. There's no destruction of Beis HaMikdash. We had the first Beis HaMikdash to destroy, that's true. But since the time of the second Beis HaMikdash is the time of, it was rebuilt and we're celebrating the Beis HaMikdash and living with the Beis HaMikdash, so according to Ritva, there will be no fast of Tisha B'Av during that time period, and therefore no reason for the Shluchim to go out. So the Shluchim only went out on Iyar. So according to Ritva, it's always six times a year the Shluchim go out. It's a question of Av or Iyar. Again, according to our simple reading of the Mishnah with our Girsa, it would seem not like the Ritva, because our Mishnah says they also go out on Iyar, also implies that the first six stand, meaning they go out also, the Shluchim, the messengers of Beis HaMikdash, go out during Av, and they also go out on the seventh month, the month of Iyar. However, the Rambam, in source number 3 in Pirush HaMishnayos, he learns a long paragraph, we'll just focus over there on the end where it's underlined, he learns very clearly that during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, it says, V'hayim is'anin Tisha B'Av, Afal Pishuhu Masur L'Ritzayim, even though it's dependent on their will, the Rambam learns that whole Gemara where it's discussing that the fast days are dependent on the circumstance of Klai, so what they're holding by, meaning, you know, if they're holding under the oppression of the Goyim or not. But nonetheless, the Rambam learns that they always fasted on Tisha B'Av, even in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, because there are numerous tragedies that happened. So Rambam learns there are numerous tragedies that happened. Now again, even though according to what we said before, historically, maybe only two tragedies happened during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash already. The fact that the Meraglim came back on the 9th of Av, and the fact that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The next three tragedies, which the Gemara tells us happened, didn't happen yet during the times of Beis HaMikdash. But nonetheless, since already it was a compounded day of tragedy, the fact that the Meraglim came back, and the fact that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Rambam learns clearly that they did yes fast during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. So right now we have a historical machlokes, and again we'll get to the ramifications of this as we go along, but right now it's a historical machlokes rishonim. During the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, did they fast on Tisha B'Av or not? According to the Ritva, they did not fast on Tisha B'Av, and according to the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos, they did yes fast on Tisha B'Av. Now it's interesting to note, we spoke about this once before, but it's just to point out, I don't know if the Rambam is alluding to this or not, I think it'll be a stretch to say he is. According to some Mefarshim, the original fight of Yaakov with the Sar Shel Esav, with Esav's Malach, where the Esav's Malach hit him in the thigh, and that's why we don't need to get on Asha, according to the Chassam Sofer, that happened on Tisha B'Av also. So if you go with that, so that was the original fight of the Goyim against the Yidden, it happened on Tisha B'Av, and that's where we got damaged, so to speak, by the Goyim the first time, so that would also be an idea that Tisha B'Av was ready even before the Meraglim, was a time of a tragedy. Okay, so now let's move on to source number 4, the Tashbait, who's a late Rishon. He was a Rav in Algeria, North Africa, in the late 1300s, early 1400s. So he has a tshuva there discussing the halachas of the fast days. In the last paragraph of the tshuva there, he discusses this opinion of the Rambam, where the Rambam again says that they would, yes, fast on Tisha B'Av during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And just to sum up what he says, he's very upset that the Rambam even suggests this. He says it doesn't really fit in with the whole understanding of the second Beis HaMikdash. Seemingly we celebrated then, we lived then in a time of peace, so we should not be fasting on Tisha B'Av. And therefore he concludes the last couple lines there in source number 4. He says, V'nira, he says, Shemash HaKasav HaRav, that which Rambam writes, that we fasted on Tisha B'Av, Hutoy Sofer, it's a mistake. The people, the Rambam students who wrote over His explanation on the Pirush HaMishnayos made a mistake. If you look through the Gemara, you'll see I'm right. I don't have to explain anymore. I don't think it's correct. It must be a mistake. It's impossible. Okay? So now we have what we had. We thought we had a Machlokes Rishonim. Says the Tashbeitz that I don't believe the Rambam ever said it. Even though it's printed, it's a mistake. And no such opinion exists.
What's his reason?
He goes through, I didn't read the whole middle, but he has a question from the Gemara that it seems like to imply that Tisha B'Av was not on the same, Tisha B'Av was like the other fast day, that when this time of Shalom, when this time of peace, we wouldn't have Tisha B'Av being commemorated as a fast, just like we didn't have Shavuos V'Tammuz and Seres B'Teves, because although, like we know, many tragedies happened ultimately on Tisha B'Av, by that time not that many happened yet, so it wouldn't be any more severe at that point. More than Shavuos V'Tammuz or Asar B'Teves, or the 9th of Tammuz actually fasted in those days. But nonetheless, he says that it can't be that during the times of Beis HaMikdash, when they were living with the Beis HaMikdash, they were still fasting and mourning over the destruction of the first base.
I mean, as you kind of mentioned before, the second base makers, most of the Nisro were not back.
Right, there was. There was a lot missing in the second base English. That's true. But the Taj Beit has a hard time digesting that would be enough reason to commemorate a communal fast, arguing on the Rambam. But okay, we have the Rambam. We have multiple prints of the Rambam that all have it in the Rambam. And then we'll see as we go along that many of the other Mefarshim don't accept the Taj Beit's rejection of the Rambam. But we have the Taj Beit who rejected this idea that the Rambam ever said that we would fast during the times of the second base of Migdash. The Turi Evan, from the Achronim, and source number 5, he says that which the Mishnah says that we would go, the Shluchim of Bezin would go out on the month of Av to tell everybody that the fast is coming. He says it's talking about Bizman Hazeh Ayri. It must be talking about post Korban. That's when the Shluchim would go out. Aval Ein Lefarish, but says Turi Evan, don't tell me that they go out Mnei Atainis is Milsa Psikta Kamar Bisman Azek Kadeshis Anu Bisman Abayis Kadesh Loyis Anu. Maybe you'll tell me, he says, that they would send Shluchim out during the times of the Beis Hamikdash to know when Tisha B'Av is, so that they shouldn't fast and they should have some day of celebration. Because like we said, that the days, these sad days in the times of when there's no oppression and there's times of Shalom, so these were days of Sasan and Simcha. So there was a quasi type of Yontifs. So maybe you would say that although, fine, we're not fasting during the times of the second base of Mikdash, but nonetheless, they should go out for Av as well in order that we should know when Tisha B'Av is, in order that we should not say Tachanun. Everyone wants to know when they don't say Tachanun, and that we should maybe have a little tikkun in shul after davening, some herring and kichel, something, some type of sasan and simcha. He says, don't say that, because he concludes the imkain, because if so, lifkunam is manabayis at Tamas v'Teves. Then they should have gone out in the times of the second base of Mikdash during the month of Tamas and during the month of Teves as well, because those fast days also were Sasan and Simcha, also days of happiness and joy in the time of the second base of Mikdash, and we don't find such a precedent. Therefore, he learns the Mishnah as well, like the Ritva, that the Mishnah is talking about Av and Bnei Atainis is only post-Churban, post-second base, destruction of the second base of Mikdash, but during the times of the second base of Mikdash itself, they would not go out during Av, even though there was some reason for them to go out, because we should know when the days are, so we should have a celebration on those days. Nonetheless, says that's not a reason to go out, and maybe we'll discuss why in a moment. But again, he learns the mission like the Ritva, that during the times of second base of Mikdash, there was no commemoration of, in a sad way, of Tisha B'Av. However, on the bottom of the Turi Evan, right over there in the smaller print, that's the Hagois, the notes of the Baruch Tam, of Baruch Frankel, and there he takes issue with the Turi Evan because he says you're ignoring the Rambam. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, and we'll soon see the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka and Mishnah Torah as well, seems to imply this as well, that during the times of Second Beis HaMikdash, they did commemorate, they did have the a fast day on Tisha B'Av. And therefore he concludes, although maybe you'll say that they had some type of fasting on Tisha B'Av during the time of second Beis HaMikdash, according to the Rambam, but he says it might not have been the full severity, the full blow of Tisha B'Av like we have it today, with all a myriad of details, more chomer than other fasts, but he wants to, you know, entertain the possibility, so to speak, that with the Rambam, this idea that they did have Tisha B'Av during the time of second Beis HaMikdash as well. Let's just take this one step further until we bring it a little closer to us. So the Rambam in the next page in Yad HaChazaka in source number 6, there the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, where he discusses all the halachos of when how the Bezdin sanctified the new moon and when the Shluchim will go out, etc. He brings the Mishnah in a little bit of a longer version, and he concludes at the end of source 6, where it's underlined, Obizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayam, when the Beis HaMikdash was still existent, Yaitin Af Aliyah Bnei Pesach Katan. So before, I didn't read inside with you again, but he says they also go out on Av Bnei Atanis, like the Mishnah says. And the end, he concludes, just like the way we have the Mishnah written, that they will go out also during Iyar because of Pesach Sheni. So the way the Rambam reads over here as well, is that you'll go out, the Shluchim will go out during Av because of the Tainis, and they will go out as well during the times of Beis HaMikdash on Iyar. So it'll be 7 months in total in the times of Beis HaMikdash. So again, this seems to apply for the way the Rambam's paskening that we would, yes, have fasted on Tisha B'Av during the times of second Beis HaMikdash. In the Sefer Shekel HaKodesh, which is Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Shlita notes on the Rambam and Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh, it's written like a style of a Mishnah Berurah. So let's read this together. He says as follows, where it's source number 7. Afal Iyar, in the second line there, it says Mashma, to Al Kol Hani Gam Ken Yaitin. On all these months they went out, Afal Av, even on the month of Av, the Bnei Atainis, Dirabeinu l'shitas, because the Rambam goes according to his opinion. Shekasa appears a Mishnah. Rambam writes in his explanation of the Mishnayis, the gam is man by sheni his anu b'tishabov. So the Chaim Kanevsky explains the way you read this Rambam simply goes in sync with the way the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayis writes that we did yes fast during the times of Second Beis Hamikdash on Tisha B'Av. Avol, here's the big Avol. However, Das Shah Rishayim, the opinion of the all the other Rishayim, so there's a Rambam on one side of the equation and everybody else, if you look in the footnote there, he brings a whole slew of Rishayim who's on this side. It's the Ritva, it's Taisvis, it's the Taj Beitz, like we said, and many other Rishayim. So he writes, Das Shah Rishayim, the Bizman Ba'isheni, Hayat Tisha B'Av Yontif. Tishba was a day of joyous happiness. Umikomachay. After Shahay Yaitzin, by perhaps, even though it was a day of joy, there would maybe the shluchim would go out as well. Lohaydi Ashu Yontif, to let everybody know when Rosh Chodesh Av is, so we should know that today is a Yontif on Tishba. Aval al Tamas v'Tevis lo Yotzu. But in Tamas and Tevis, they did not go out, even though they would go out on Av. Even though they were yantiv as well, because those are not as severe. Now again, so let's recap. So Chaim Kanevsky explains, Shlita explains that the Rambam, the simple way to read the Rambam over here in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh is in sync with the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayis. Rambam L'shitasa, it makes it much easier. The Rambam goes according to his own opinion that even in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, they would fast on Tisha B'Av, and therefore the shluchim of Bezdin, the messengers of Bezdin, would go out to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh Av is, and therefore they can fast on Tisha B'Av. However, according to the other Rishonim, who all argue in the Rambam and say that there was no commemoration of a sad way of Tisha B'Av during the second Beis Hamikdash. In fact, quite to the opposite, to the contrary, they commemorate Tisha B'Av as a happy day, as some type of Yomtif. There, he says, maybe they went out as well, not to tell us to fast, but to tell us the opposite, that what they Rosh Chodesh was, you know, 9 days later, will be Tisha B'Av, you don't say Tachanun, and you can have a little feast and drink a l'chaim, etc. Ah, so he asks on himself, why didn't they go out on Tamas and Teves? We should commemorate those as days of happiness as well during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, because he says those are not so chomer. They're not so severe. Now, what does that mean? Now, it's true, the way we have the halacha today, like I mentioned before, we're all familiar that Tisha B'Av is more severe in the fasting of it, that we know that the fast starts at night, there are much more restrictions, we're much more strict, that we don't break the fast as easily for someone who's not feeling so well. Obviously, in certain cases, of course, we will, but we're slower to pull the trigger, so to speak, to be lenient for someone to not to fast on Tisha B'Av. But what does it mean that in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, or in general, that the fasts of Shavuos HaBetamos and Asar HaBetamos are less severe? So here's the Chiddush from Minchas Chinuch in source number 8. And I think, it fits in very well. The Ritva didn't have the word af, so it fits in very well according to the Ritva. He's trying to say, even if you have the word af, you can still, could be the other, and look through all the Rishayim, could be the other Rishayim had the word af and still learn like this. So he's trying to, you know, balance it out.
So he hasn't said not to do that. Not to.
Right, he said like, don't pick up the word af, right. Right, but if you do, according to the Rambam, it fits very well.
Right.
And according to Ritva, who didn't have it, it really, you know, it makes it much, much easier if you have it or didn't have it. The other Rishonim seemingly had it and still learned like the Ritva. That's why we want to try to, you know, balance them out.
When they celebrated on Tisha B'Av,
why was it a day of susan and simcha? Because I guess the way I understand that at one point this was a day of sadness because the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. But now that we're living in a time of the second Beis Hamikdash, we have the Karbanos, we have the Avodah back, we have an opportunity to go serve Hashem. So that's it's not a day of sadness anymore.
Make it a day of happiness and joy. But that's what they say. The time of Mashiach comes, Tisha B'Av is going to be a yontif.
Right. Well, that could be even for a deeper reason, for the next step, because that could be because we'll understand how everything developed, even though what we thought was sad. He's asking, even in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, there was sad thing still happened, and like you're saying, we're still missing. Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't see anyone speak this out exactly. What when we say it was day of Yom Tov, I don't think it means a day of Yom Tov like we celebrate Pesach, so to speak, where it's also been Malacha. I think the way I'm understanding Yom Tov, I'm not sure if I'm correct, but the way I'm understanding it is that it was a day, like I said, that they would have some type of quasi-Yom Tov status. Something similar where they wouldn't say Tachanun, so to speak. You can have an extra Suda, but it wouldn't be a day that was necessarily Asar B'Malacha. There was no Kedushas Hayayim, like a day of Pesach or Sukkot or Shavuos, things like that, where it's a full-fledged Yontif. But let's see the Minchas Chinuch. Okay. The Minchas Chinuch says a big Chiddush. And I'm not gonna be able to go through everything. This is already a cutout from a much bigger piece, and even this is pretty big over here. But the basic idea is as follows. The Menachas Chinuch suggests, he's going to suggest about all four Tanaisim, but I'm going to limit his Chiddush a little bit to say a different part. The Menachas Chinuch says an idea that is interesting. He points out that the Pasuk in Zechariah that the Gemara quoted, you said before in the beginning, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, didn't call the fast by their calendar date exactly. It didn't say the 10th of Teves, the 7th day of Tammuz, the 3rd day of Tishrei, and the 9th of Av. It called them by the months. The fast that's in the 4th month, the fast in the 5th month, the fast that's in the 7th month, and the fast that's in the 10th month. What happened to the dates? The months are important.
They don't even say the name of the month.
They don't even say the name of the month. That's true, because the name of the month also only came about later. But it doesn't even say what I'm pointing out, particularly Maksinach is saying, what happened to the dates? It's good to know the month. The month is very general, so now you narrowed it down to 29 or 30 days. But it's still kind of open-ended. What day is it? The Menachas Chinuch goes on and says a Chiddush that although we have a specific date when we commemorate in Teves, the 10th day of Teves, we have a date in Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz, etc., when we commemorate, really, the date is not so important. The month is the important part, meaning that this month has tragedy that happened in it, and we have to choose a date where we're going to commemorate all the tragedy. If you think about it for a minute, when we have, for example, Asara B'Teves, the Paiskin and the Svarim speak out, it's brought down that really Ches, Tes, and Yud, 3 days in a row where days of tragedy happened, and then we talk about it in the Slichas of Asara B'Teves, but we're not going to fast, we're not going to impose on the Tzibor 3 days in a row of fasting, so we choose Asara B'Teves as to commemorate all those fasts. Shivasa B'Tamuz, the same idea. The 9th day of Tammuz was also a day of tragedy. Other days in Tammuz we speak about were days of tragedy. So Chazal picked one day, 7th day of Tammuz, to compound together to have this as a day of commemoration for the whole month of Tammuz. So the Menachas Chinuch suggests that there's no, so to speak, I'll use the term, but it doesn't say exactly, Kedushas Hayayim, it's no specific date for each one of the Tanaisim. It's the month in general that we need to know that this is the month we're in now, and this month the day happened. Now again, La Halacha, we're not going to take this to the extreme and say, well, if I fast, I choose a date, I choose the 4th day of Tammuz to fast because it's more convenient for me. It doesn't work. You have to fast the 10th day of Tammuz. But in the way, in Lomdus, the way he just explains how it was developed as the month, and until Chazal narrowed it down to a day. Therefore, he suggests that it's not so important necessarily to know for Tammuz and Teves when exactly the date is. Because as long as you know that we're now in the month of Tammuz, you know in the month of Teves, whichever day, whether it's a fast or a happy day, depending on what time period we're living in, as long as you commemorate a day in that month, either for a fasting or for a day of Simcha, he suggests, then you're fulfilled what Chazal wanted us to do. Again, like I said, nowadays, La Halacha, we narrowed it down to a specific date, and that date is usually immutable. We don't change it. But in the way it was originally organized, the way it originally developed, it's interesting how Chazal originally developed it, he said it wasn't specific. So that's why we can suggest, that's why it wasn't important for the Shluchim necessarily to go out on the day, on the month of Tammuz and Teves, even though those months had fast days in it, because the date in the month wasn't specific. It wasn't date specific, it was month specific. So we know what month we're going to be in. The question of what day is Rosh Chodesh, is that day, is it that day? It's not so, that's a technical detail. It's not ultimately very, very important, because as long as we have one day in that month either to fast, or we have one day in that month to commemorate as the day of Sasa and the Simcha, like the Pasuk says in Zechariah, then we would have fulfilled the idea of the Pasuk of having a day either of Tzayim or a day of Sasa and the Simcha. However, perhaps you can say by Tisha B'Av wouldn't be the same, although the Mechasech doesn't speak out this distinction. I think it could be a strong distinction, because Tisha B'Av, like we said, Huchbulu by Tzarois, there was never really other tragedies that we are commemorating in Tisha B'Av more than Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is always the national day, so to speak, of Jewish tragedy. So that's why even maybe during the times when they, according to those Rishonim, that they commemorated Tisha B'Av as a day of Susan and Simcha, they had to go out on Av because they had to know specifically the date. Again, we're drawing a distinction between Tammuz and Teves versus Av. Tammuz and Teves, they never sent out because the date wasn't specific, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, the Rosh Chodesh Av, they had to send out. It was date specific because even the times when it was Susan and Simcha, we're suggesting perhaps that was date specific. Okay. Right, Mechzid doesn't make the distinction between Tisha B'Av. If you look at the Raya's of the Menachas Chinuch, his main Raya in the middle is from a Gemara, and that Gemara does not apply to Tisha B'Av. So that's why I think there's room to say what I'm saying in Mechzid, but yes, the Menachas Chinuch is not saying exactly what I'm saying. Okay, now we have all this discussion. Like we said before, it's a lot of nice history, but let's take it now, Lamaisa. What does it have to do with us? Bottom line, Lamaisa, why do we care in Tafshin Ayin Ches, besides the fact that it's Torah, Hagel Torah, Adira, but will it have any halachic nafkamina The fact, if or not they fasted on Tishah B'Av during the second bias. So here we go. This is the chiddush of the day. Says the Ramah in source number 9 in Hilchos Tishah B'Av. The Ramah says in a year where Tishah B'Av falls out during the week, not like this year. So we know that we have a Suda Mafsekes, the Suda right before the fast. That's a very small meal. We have eggs, and in the minigiz we have like a bread dipped in ashes and eggs, a very small meal. But during earlier in the day, the Ramah says it's appropriate to have a nice sized meal. Not like, you know, no, we can't have fleishiks at that time. That's what we paskin, but we should have something good so we can make it through the fast. Right? If we don't eat up properly before the fast, we're not giving ourselves a fighting chance to make it through the fast day. So the Ramah says as follows, this is important. It says, Hagah. Uminig b'chol galilois Ashkenaz. The minig is in all the outlying Ashkenazi regions. Lechol suda kavua kaida mincha, to eat a meal before mincha. V'achakach mispal mincha. Then we daven mincha. V'oichol suda mafsekes. So the Ramah is telling us how to have the menu for the day. Let's just say, for argument's sake, mincha will be at 6 o'clock. So before 6 o'clock mincha, have a nice large dinner, have a big meal to get ready for the fast. Go daven mincha, come home, and have the smaller meal suda mafsekes, and then get ready for the fast. Then the Ramah says, the noyagin laharbois kitzas besuda. The minig is to have a larger meal, the first meal. Kedei shla yazig lamatinus, in order that the fast should not be harmful to them. Like we just said, it's practical, so we should be able to get through the fast. You know, load up on the calories and the carbs and the protein, everything before the fast. Harlu pois kimi baijan kamar yom kippur, because we also start a little bit early, like we start the fast right by shkia time, like we do yom kippur, as opposed to other fasts we start the next morning. And then he continues, he has a raya from Medrash Eicha. So again, so Ramah says he's codifying for us a halacha, just like on Erev Yom Kippur, we have to have there, it's a real mitzvah to eat. But he's saying in a similar vein, there's an idea of having a big meal late in the afternoon before the Suda Mafsekas on a regular Erev Tishah B'Av, again, not this year. Comes along the Magen Avram on the Shulchan Aruch over there in Source 10 and says a chiddush. Where does the Ramah get this from? The Ramah is very, seemingly very practical, like we just said. Make sure you load up on the food, you'll be able to make it through the tainus. Says the Magen Avraham, it's much deeper than that. Shla yazik lahem, v'li nira, says the Magen Avraham, this is in source number 10, the Magen Avraham, Ayis Yud Aleph, v'li nira tam, I'll tell you a new reason. Achar, another reason of Neshav, is man by yesheni, because in the times of the second base of Migdash, ha'ya yomtif tishbav, tishbav was a yomtif, v'ha'ya marbin on besuda, and they increased, they had a lot of food on the day of tishbav. So therefore, achshav, there too, also now, loizazu mimena, we should not leave from that idea, and obviously we can't eat on Tisha B'Av, liyais lezikarin, that should be a remembrance, sheyahopech b'meher b'yamein l'sasin l'simcha. Says the Magen Avraham, the reason why we have a big meal on the Erev Tisha B'Av is to remember that at times of the second base of Migdash, Tisha B'Av is a yantif. What's the Magen Avraham? Not like the Rambam. Magen Avraham is telling us like Rav Rishayinim, that during the times of the second base of Migdash is we had a big meal on Tisha B'Av, we had a fleishik is suda on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, on Erev Tisha B'Av, we can't have fleishiks nowadays, but have some type of big suda and say, have, think in your mind, in the times of the base Midrash, I was able to take the suda tomorrow on Tisha B'Av, and here we remain, Mashiach should come speedily in our days, we'll have a big suda on Tisha B'Av itself as well. And then he concludes, very small words over there, he says, I'm Beis Yosef, look at the Beis Yosef in Soif Simon Tov Kof Nun Dalet, because you'll see there's a source for what I'm telling you. Again, but what's the Magen Avraham telling us right now? He's telling us an idea that since in the times of the second base of Migdash, Tisha B'Av was celebrated as, like I said, a quasi-yomtif, therefore we should have a big meal on Erev Tisha B'Av as well in order to remember what it was in times of the base of Migdash and be anticipatory for the coming of Mashiach Spili in our days. So what does the Beis Yosef say over there in Tafkof Nundal? So I quote over here on the bottom, this is the Pirush of the Machzis HaShekel. Machzis HaShekel is like a super commentary on the Magen Avraham. He just references everything and explains the depth of the Magen Avraham. So right over here in that paragraph underneath the Magen Avraham, he says an amazing thing. Beis Yosef there paskins, or sorry, not paskins, he brings an opinion of the Kolbo. If you look, it's like a second line down there. He says, L'hachzik levoveis chalusha, is to strengthen the hearts of the weak ones. The Beis Yosef brings the name of the Kolbo, the elder rabbis, and Higo, they allowed the following custom. They allowed women on Tisha B'Av afternoon to wash their hair, to wash their head. Tisha B'Av. Why? Women have a, according to this, they're more weaker in their nature. To believe fully in the fact that Mashiach is coming. They're not as well versed as the men spent the whole day in shul saying kinnis, listening to drushes, watching videos, whatever we're doing, the whole Tisha B'Av, being mechazik, women don't have the same opportunity. They're at home. They don't have the same option. So they're not as necessarily mechuzik for the coming of Mashiach. V'tzricha mechizak, and we have to do something that will give the women a little boost to be exciting and waiting for Mashiach. For us who smach, and we do this custom based on the idea that the Medrash tells us ki haMashiach noyla b'yom Tisha B'Av, the Mashiach is going to be born on Tisha B'Av. But again, the Beis Yosef says that we shouldn't do this minig, we shouldn't allow the women to do it. And he says, but that's the idea that the Magen Avraham is coming from, that we do a minig on Erev Tisha B'Av to get people excited. Tisha B'Av is a very sad day. We don't want everyone to be depressed, chas v'shalom. We have to commemorate, of course, and mourn the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. But we want to keep it also with a certain positive twist. We want to have a bigger meal on Erev Tisha B'Av, in order that people should be excited that this is what it used to be in the times of Beis HaMikdash, a nice meal, and Meher Yimeinu, Mashiach will come, we'll have a big meal again on Tisha B'Av. Again, so that's the idea the Magen Avraham says, that we learn out from how, according to the Magen Avraham, they did, yes, celebrate Tisha B'Av, or so to speak, commemorate Tisha B'Av in a happy way during the second bias. That's why we have a big meal on Erev Tisha B'Av. So I want to add, based on this Magen Avraham, it fits in very well. This year that's coming, if unfortunately Mashiach doesn't come before the end of the week, so we know Tisha B'Av, the date of Tisha B'Av falls out when? Falls out on Shabbos itself. So on Shabbos itself, although it's Tisha B'Av, we have a certain halachas of Erev Tisha B'Av on it. But nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, even though it's Erev Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to do things that we might do during the year. There's no Sudam Afsekes this year on Shabbos. And more than that, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is that we should eat meat on Shabbos. V'shoysa ki yayin, we should drink wine. Instead of having the regular sudam afsekes Shabbat Shal Shudas this week, you even you don't have to eat fleishiks, but you're allowed to eat fleishiks. Umala al shulchana, you should have your table set. Afilu kesudas shloima be'es malchus, like shloima malachadas, you should have a royal table set for Shabbos this week. Why? Because we can't show avelus. But I think it's more than that. According to what Magen Avraham just said, it's very gishmak. This year we have a unique opportunity. Anytime Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, that we can remember. Usually we can't eat on Tisha B'Av, right? But in the times of the second base of Mikdash, according to the Magen Avraham, they ate on Tisha B'Av. And therefore the Magen Avraham says what? To have a big meal on Erev Tisha B'Av. This year we can actually have a big meal on Tisha B'Av and fulfill this idea as well. Because again, this year Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos technically. So in the times of the base of Mikdash, the date of Tisha B'Av was a day of a quasi yontif that had a big meal. So it fits in very well. Lashon the Shulchan Aruch, that on Shabbos we have to make sure to have Kesuda Shloima HaMelech. Why are you setting a royal feast for? Because it's the idea of a yontif suda. The Mishnah speaks about we shouldn't go overboard. We shouldn't make a big party this Shabbos. This whole question of someone wants to make a kiddush this Shabbos, is he allowed to? Not allowed to? Okay, so we're not going to make a big party for the whole community. But the idea of to have on our own table an appropriate feast and to remember it should be anticipatory that now, unfortunately, it's Erev Tisha B'Av. Hopefully, it won't be. But case is, the idea is that, and we have to eat up before the fast. But b'zman abayis, the meal I would eat now would be the meal I would eat mamash on Tisha B'Av. I would have a chalant. And I would have a big steak dinner, whatever it would be, on Tisha B'Av itself. So that's a new twist on this idea that we can have a big meal on Shabbos and the mindset that it's to remember what it was in time second base of Mikdash and what should be the Meher B'Yameinu. I want to take now the last few minutes to discuss another halacha which is applicable this year, particularly for Erev Shabbos. The Ramah says in Source 11 that the minig is on every Erev Tisha B'Av that after Chatzais, on Erev Tisha B'Av, let's say Tisha B'Av fell out middle of the week, so on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzais, we do not learn regular things of Torah, we only learn things which are applicable for Tisha B'Av, sad things, Hilchas Avelos, Hilchas Tisha B'Av, Eicha, the Nevi'im, which discuss the Churban Abayis, and the Ramah goes so far and says, even this year, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and we're not going to and Tisha B'Av is really commemorated on Sunday, but he says it's appropriate that Shabbos afternoon as well, the Ramah says, we should not learn our regular Torah studies, we should only learn things which are applicable to Tisha B'Av. And the Ramah says, even those people who usually learn Pirkei Avos should not learn Pirkei Avos this Shabbos afternoon because it's Erev Tisha B'Av. However, the Mishnah Berurah and many other Achayim, according to the Be'er Halacha, goes to town this Halacha. And he says that although the Ramah is coming from a source, it's not unsourced, but it comes at a big hefset, a big loss for people who are makbar in this Halacha. Because what happens? People say, oh, this Shabbos afternoon is Erev Tisha B'Av, I can't learn, I won't go to shul, I won't have my chavrusa, I'll sit home and I'll read the Yated, I'll sit home and do something else. That's not an excuse. He says, chas v'sholom, to be mekel in bittul Torah with a religious excuse, he says it's better to sit and learn the Mishnah Berurah in Radin, the yeshiva in Radin, they were mekel, and the Bacharim had a regular Seder on Shabbos afternoon on Tisha B'Av, and many other places, they have the regular Daf Yomi Shir, because chas v'sholom, to use this as an excuse not to learn. If a person's able to come and learn Hilchas Avelos or Hilchas Tisha B'Av properly, so fine. But for many people, that's not mashaliba mechafetz, and not so excited about it. They have the regular chavrusas or the regular limud, and the Mishnah Berurah over here in Be'er Halacha and other achayim as well put forth that this is the appropriate practice that we should make sure to learn properly, not use our religion as an excuse not to learn Torah. As a side, in the next source, there's a cute story from the Beis Halevi. In source number 12, the Torah Tamima writes in his diary, the Sefer Makar Baruch, that one day he was in yeshiva in Volozhin. He was there for 2 years straight, because of course, who went home those days in yeshiva? And finally, after 2 years, he was on his way back home. He stopped off one night, as he was traveling home from Volozhin, he stopped off in a hotel in Minsk. And the hotel was pretty busy that night, and lo and behold, later on the night, the Beis Halevi himself, the Rav of Brisk, comes and stays in the hotel, and there weren't enough rooms. The motel was full. So Teretz Mima, the Bachar, he was a Bachar time, you know, offered the Beis Halevi to come share his room with him. What an opportunity, right? The Gadol HaDor. And he knew the Beis Halevi knew his family, so they, you know, they had some shaykhis. And that night, once the town heard that the Beis Halevi was in the hotel night, of course, people started coming and asking shaylas. And there was a maskil from that town, the Teretz Mima writes, who came as well, who was a religious person, but he was a maskil, a little more on the enlightened side. And he had recently opened up a library with many svarim to make it available for the people. But of course, the svarim there he had were more tilted towards bring people away from proper Torah observance. And he tells the Beis Halevi in front of everybody, he says, I'm very disappointed. I got your sefer, you know, to put in our new library in town. I was expecting such a big gadol, a guy in a bucky like you, the Beis Halevi. You should have had some more coolers in your sefer. Your sefer is full of chumras. So Beis Halevi looks at him and on the spot, he says, chumras? I have so many coolers. I'll tell you 7 coolers off the bat like that. Some of them are in my sefer. Some of them are in the next chedek on my sefer. But I have many more coolers. But I'll just tell you quick, off the bat, he tells me 7 coolers. What are the 7 coolers? He tells the maskil in front of everybody. He says, first of all, some people are makbid, like the Machaber Paskins or the Ramah Paskins, that you can't daven Ma'ariv after Chatzos at night. I'm Mekel. You can daven Ma'ariv even after Chatzos. He says, some people are machmir, like the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. You cannot put on tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam only if you're a big tzaddik and a big chassid. No, I'm Mekel. Anybody's allowed to put on tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. He says, some people are makbid, they're machmir, they're Shulchan Aruch Paskins. You can't say piyutim. You can't say extra things during davening. It's a hefsek in davening. I'm Mekel. You can say piyutim during davening. He says, some people are machmir that during Spicevir Sa'imer, if they miss a night, you can't count anymore with the bracha. I'm Mekel. You can count still with the bracha on the certain circumstances. He says, some people are machmir on Erev Tishvav, on Shabbos. They don't say Pirkei Avos. They don't learn. I'm Mekel. You can learn Torah on Tishvav afternoon, Erev Tishvav afternoon as well. He says, some people are machmir, the Shulchan Aruch says, and say you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. I say you're allowed to fast. I'm Mekel. You're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. He says, some people are machmir and say you're not allowed to keep 2 days Yom Kippur. It's a sakana. I'm Mekel. You're allowed to keep 2 days Yom Kippur if you want. So right on the spot, he responds to the maskil, but the cute story, but the idea was he told him, one of the coolest he told him was this idea as well, the Erev Tisha B'Av, it could be Mekel, and the something we should keep in mind, we should never use this as an excuse not to come learn. Just to end off with one point, we unfortunately, we're in the 9 days, but we're hoping and looking forward to Mashiach coming, Beher V'Yameinu. So the question is, when Mashiach comes, what's the Shalom Aleichem? What do we give him? So I just put down here from Chaim Kanievsky Shliti, has a list of at least 8 brachas we're going to have to say right away when this kibbutz Golias and Mashiach comes, and we should have these brachas, we make a little card, whatever it is, we should be ready that we shouldn't be stumbling to know what to do when Mashiach comes. Obviously, we've got to do tshuva. But besides tshuva, there are 8 brachas at least that he puts down over here. I put in source number 13. Number 1, we're going to have to make a birchas ha-goymel because we're going to survive the Muhammad, the big war of Gog Magog. So we survive that war and we'll probably have to travel to Eretz Yisrael. So that trip itself will obligate us in the fact we survived the war. That's number 1, birchas ha-goymel. Number 2, when we see the king, Mashiach, he's going to be the king. So we have to make a bracha of shechalak mikvoyde lebas of Adam because he's the din of a melech. Number 3, since he's also going to be a big time achacham, wherever it'll be, we have to make the bracha we say on seeing the Gadol Hadar, which is shechalak mikvoyde le'ireyav. Number 4 and 5, we're going to have to make a shechiyano and a mechayim meisim. When tzchias meisim, we're going to see relatives we haven't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. People coming back from their grave. That's 2 brachas there as well. The 6th bracha, we're going to see 600,000 yidin gathered in one area in Eretz Yisrael, Be'ez Hashem, but there's a special bracha to make there as well. Baruch Hacham Harazim. There's a 7th bracha, he says, perhaps he suggests we'll have to make. We're going to see some people that are, this is the halacha, that people who have certain disconfigurations of their, and physically mutated, there are certain brachas we make called Mashana HaBriyos. He says, even though Mashiach will heal everybody, that doesn't happen right away. So we'll see something strange. Some type of mutation of a human will make an interesting bracha there as well. And then he's also going to have to make a bracha of Baruch Shepetranu, because now we're going to have the Ola Goyim, the oppression of the Goyim will be off from us, and therefore we'll make a bracha that has been removed from us. Then he has other brachas which is mesupik about. For example, he's mesupik if you have to make a bracha of Gal Yisrael for the redemption. But there are at least 8 brachas off the bat that we have to be ready to make at any time. So Meher B'Yameinu, we shall be Zeicha this week to make all these brachas. Okay.